Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
All right, this is going to continue now because now he's pissed me off again. Final hour of the program.
You are cranky and irritable. Two in the books. You don't have caffeine.
It has nothing to do with the coffee. It has everything to do with your choice in movies. Two in the books, one to go. Here comes the final hour of the show. We've been talking about a lot of sports today, but you know what? Get over it. We're going to be doing that a lot. We can do whatever we want and mix it up when we're having some good times and good conversations. Aaron's here, which we always appreciate. Patrick Creighton and myself. Patrick Creighton never would have made it as Siskel, or maybe you look like Siskel, but you're not going to make it as Siskel or Ebert when it comes to movie ratings if some of these things are coming in. Because someone I'm going to give credit to who did not put their name on the text as instructed, 346 area code. I don't know if y'all mentioned it, just tuned in. What about Moneyball? Boom. Good movie. Really good movie. Patrick, tell them what you said about it.
Not that good. Not that good and not even all that accurate. And we told you.
Are you hung up on the accuracy or whether it was a good movie? Because, by the way, the Academy and a lot of people that went to the box office thought opposite of you.
Not only did we talk the other day about how they portrayed Art Howe to
Art
be this Howe,
I know he's never gotten over
moron.
It.
All right, but the entire focus of the movie basically is, you know, all right, we're going to take guys that nobody values, and you know, we're going to turn Scott Hatterberg into a first baseman, all that crap. They're trying to portray themselves as. We don't really have any. That's the way the movie operates and probably the way the book operates. This team has Mark Mulder, Tim Hudson, Barry Zito, and Miguel Tejada on it. And that is completely omitted from the movie. And I never read the book, but it's completely omitted from the movie.
You want to borrow
it? Like, those guys don't even freaking exist.
When you work with Daryl Morey, you got to have it in your office.
And, yeah, so, like, that part of it, I was never going to like that movie because they ignore too many actual real facts. So I could never really get into the
Carlos
movie.
Pena.
Who gets traded right away.
Right.
But like they completely.
You hate these movies, but you remember both of them right to a T.
Because I did watch them. So it's not like I didn't watch them and said, oh, this is stupid. No.
Patrick needs to turn in his baseball card. His take on movies is garbage. Boom.
I watched it. And didn't really like it because if you're going to have a baseball movie that's supposed to be about a historical thing and you just ignore all the freaking history of it, well, what the hell am I watching? I'm watching fiction. So if I'm going to watch fiction.
So you like The Rookie because it's based on a true story about the guy that was the coach.
Yeah, Jim Morris. That's a great story. The story is part of what makes that movie so good.
And you don't think the Field of Dreams story is a good story?
It's not a real story. It's a conjured story, and it's slow
you
as hell.
You do realize there's things such as fiction and nonfiction, as you were speaking about, and other categories that still make it art and entertainment.
It is, but man, you are so irritable without your caffeine. Can we get him a coffee?
It has nothing to do with that.
He's really agitated. Am I right, Aaron, right now?
Well, this is the problem, is that Patrick, you're not focusing on the key words. When those kind of movies happen, the first thing you see on the screen is based on a true story.
Right. Or thank you.
Inspired by
right.
a true
I'm
story.
I'm aware of that.
If they made it based on every single factual accuracy of that Oakland A's team, one, it would be a 9-hour movie. Two, nobody would watch it. Because guess what? Hollywood is good at taking those things that are, it's got a glimmer of, hey, this could be really interesting, but we have to toy with it. Just like we do on radio, where
you
we go,
yeah, you gotta
hey,
okay, we,
the idea talk that about, I don't understand the concept of creative liberty or based on a truth, I don't know where you came up with that, because how many movies do we already mention that are based on that? The point is, I didn't like Field of Dreams. I thought it moved too slow. You liked it. Great.
But
you
I'm talking more about Moneyball.
Moneyball. I didn't like it because it's not just that it omits way too much freaking stuff.
But Aaron's right. But
it's
we don't have
a nine-hour movie.
We're not
then.
Watching The Last Dance. We're watching a freaking two-and-a-half-hour movie.
Okay, well, I didn't want to watch a movie based on Scott Hatterberg and Billy Bean. I want, if you're going to give me that era A's team and, oh, well, you know, we have to replace Jason Giambi in those home runs. Like, that's the one guy that you're going to talk about for the 30 seconds at the beginning of the movie? To act like we have no money and we have no chance.
Jonah Hill,
Brad Pitt,
what
was the win
streak
they went on?
They were both up for awards. The fact that they were basically concentrating on this was a completely new concept in baseball, to have a general manager and a way of thinking like they were thinking. You can't focus on every damn player you personally wanted to see do well.
So
maybe Miguel Tejada was a higher draft pick.
Okay movie.
You didn't even say okay.
I said eh. Eh, okay, kind of the same thing. Wasn't a big fan of it.
Because Robert Redford in The Natural is believable. That is reality at its finest.
It's a story. It was never based on anything real. Just like Field of Dreams, not based on something real. Major League, not really based on something real. The Indians were terrible for a long time. Bull Durham, nah, there is a Durham Bulls, but not based on something real.
Doesn't make it a bad movie, or and that doesn't mean it didn't entertain you for 2 to 3 hours.
No, those movies
That's
did.
What a movie's supposed to do.
I was not overly entertained by Moneyball.
Go watch documentaries if you want everything to be realistic and just spot on with numbers.
Eight Men Out is a terrific movie. For A League of Their Own, amazing
How
movie.
Much did you like Tom Selleck in Mr. Baseball?
It was funny, but it's
oh,
a B-grade
my
movie.
God, I gotta go.
It's a B-grade movie.
Oh, jeez. You're killing me, Smalls. You are.
Well, I didn't say it was a great movie. I said it was a B-grade movie. Like, what more do you need? Like Mr. 3000, it's a B-grade movie. It has some humorous spots to it. It's a B-grade movie.
Everyone's loving this, but Roderick, who can't go along with the bit and says, it's not that damn serious, Joel. My goodness, he doesn't have to like the movie. God, people, just have some fun in your life. Here's the thing. It wasn't just that movie. Now we've got Moneyball. Now we've got Field of Dreams. What else are you going to crap on that most people think is a treasure when you're a sports fan, a baseball fan that likes movies? Anything else?
Is that necessarily a treasure movie? Is Moneyball a treasure?
And Moneyball's not a treasure, but Moneyball from a standpoint of the motion picture world.
And hold on. I did not besmirch Major League. I said Major League was freaking awesome.
Yeah, I didn't say you did.
I didn't say you did, but we got some people on the Twitch chat that seemed to have a little bit of the stuff in their ears, and they didn't hear it quite right. But, no, Major League is an all-time great movie. Bull Durham is an all-time great movie. It doesn't
have. So if they're all-time great movies, Field of Dreams is not.
No. Oh, not a top five movie. Sorry. Not happening. Not a top five baseball movie. We've already gone through them. Not a top five baseball movie.
And I see, here's the thing. If you have an open mind to it, it doesn't have to all be, like, as Aaron said, based on a true story. It is fine with me. I don't have to have it hyper accurate. 42 is a phenomenal flick.
Sure is.
Chadwick Boseman was spot on, dude.
And I mentioned that as a great movie.
I just... Okay.
Again, I don't know where you guys came up with the whole, oh, well, it has to be based on a thing or Creighton doesn't like. That's not true at all. Not even close to true.
Because your argument with Moneyball was.
You said.
My argument with Moneyball was that they ignored half of reality.
It's not called ignoring. It's called selective editing.
Yeah, you can only have so many.
It's a 162 game season for baseball.
I had no idea, Aaron.
Patrick, do you think Hard Knocks that they should do a story on every guy in the freaking locker room? Because it's not going to work that way. Otherwise, Hard Knocks would be going through basketball
okay.
season.
In what
baseball season?
In what movie are the best players on the team not included in the movie?
But Patrick,
Moneyball.
No, because the concept of Moneyball is creating the rest of the team to get creative and use numbers and other means to try and build the rest of the ball club. Every team has a few star players. Every team has a few really good pitchers.
But they didn't
but
have
guess
a,
what?
A few.
In order to create the team to be competitive when no one thought they were going to be competitive, the concept of the movie and the theme was that this was a different way of doing it and constructing a team.
they had one of the best rotations in baseball. They had one of the best big threes in baseball.
Eventually they had an elite shortstop.
No, not eventually they
because they didn't have the money to keep the big nine players
before Billy Beane does the whole Moneyball thing. They had those guys
right,
already.
Right, they had them, and then they couldn't keep them because they couldn't afford to keep them. So it's how do you stay competitive? How do you stay on top when you can't compete with the Joneses money-wise and otherwise? And that's where the Moneyball concept comes in. You can't cover every single damn player on the diamond.
You didn't have to ignore the most important players either.
What if the important players weren't acquired and put into the lineup using Moneyball? What if they were just drafted as highly rated prospects and they made it through the system quickly and there's no story there?
Well, not only that, they were some of the best players. How great is a movie where you're just showing a guy rake every single at bat? You need to have some type of conflict here.
Okay,
and if all you're doing is showing, hey, again, they had these four great players
you didn't
who were just demolishing the ball.
Completely omit them while also making your manager out to be the biggest bumbling turd ball in the universe. There were too many things in that movie that didn't line up for me, so it kind of ruined the movie for me. Okay? That's what it is. You liked it. Great. I didn't like it. That's why. You don't have to agree with why I don't like it. You don't have to understand why I don't like it. But you can at least respect, this is why I didn't like it. Not, no, but you have to look at it my way.
No, I'm just saying your argument that sports movies need to, if they're based on a true story, they need to be 100% of the true story.
No, but they need to be, like, more than 20% of the whole story.
No, that's why it's a movie, not a documentary. It can be as much of the... Again,
if you are less than 50% accurate, you're no longer based on a true story. Now you're just making bleep up as you go along.
No, the generic plot is based... I go back to the Mitch Hedberg line. Inspired by a true story. Hey, did you see that car crash, the woman drowned, her drove off a bridge, her and her kids drowned? Yeah, and that inspired me to write a movie about a gorilla. It is inspired by a true story that somebody died.
Yeah.
Now, who was red-faced, by the way, on another beverage, all loud and worked up and basically almost sweating and shaking in their chair?
But I'm always like this.
I'm drinking water, watching you go off the rails, going, who needs caffeine or needs to cut it out or what?
Okay. I like my caffeine. I need my caffeine. I want my caffeine. Caffeine is my friend.
Okay.
But
well, you and your friend will not be going to see.
I mean, I'm loud and I'm energetic, but I'm not irritable.
Will you and your friend be watching the quote-unquote real Field of Dreams tonight, Patrick?
I'm sure I'll watch part of it.
Will you be disappointed if it's not the actual field that Field of Dreams was played on?
But I will be disappointed.
But a makeshift field that's based on... the original field,
be disappointed if the Yankees win.
Why? It's more important for the Astros if the White Sox lose.
Because I hate the Yankees.
I agree with that.
And since both teams can't lose, let the Yankees lose. If the Yankees go 0-162, they won too many games.
Okay, look, for those of you that are dying for more Texans news, because we've got to get into that, we do have the news that we teased, that there is some news if you want to bet for or against your Houston Texans and information like that. We'll continue to roll on with the final hour of the program. It's the Press Box at ESPN.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Hey, back rolling through and having some fun on the final hour of the program in The Press Box on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You want to cover the breaking news, Pat, to get all the football heads back into real, authentic football information?
So the Texans have some news today. It doesn't even involve a player. No, they have a new partnership. And this new partnership is with Caesars Entertainment. and the Houston Texans have a multi-year partnership for Caesars to become the official casino partner of the team. It goes into effect immediately. This would be awesome if there were casinos allowed in Houston.
Well, now is it Wrigley? They're in the process of constructing a two-level, and I want to say that I don't think they can call it a casino, but they're constructing next to Wrigley Field a two-level, like for daily fantasy and other things.
Sports book, I think.
Yeah, like a sports book. And I want to say that, is it the Arizona Cardinals? There were two teams. I know they're building one at Wrigley, and I think Arizona is in negotiations to do the same thing, to build like a mini sports book on the premises of where their stadium is.
Pretty soon, this is going to be every stadium, every team, every league is going to have a sports book in their stadium, arena, field, etc. They're all going to have them soon. And like this year, it's this is new, this is new. By the time we get around to next year, more than half the league is going to have these. If not, maybe even more than half the league is going to have these. This is the way. There is no segment in sports growing faster than sports wagering.
It is
growing like it's on super steroids, and there's so much money being thrown into it. More and more play, like so Louisiana is gonna allow sports gambling, and you know there's discussion about whether or not the change of governor in New York is going to expedite their getting into sports wagering.
So I was right, by the way. Cardinals looking at putting the sports book within the stadium. Wrigley is building one right next to the stadium. And I was going to say, when I was in the front office with the Rockets, well before these salaries got to this level, ownership and the league were in deep talks as to where's that next revenue-generating source going to come from, because the books weren't adding up. The profits versus where the contracts were headed, the cap was headed, and all these things. And they were highly focused on two things, and that was gambling, and that was daily fantasy. And they knew daily fantasy would be easier for them, because when you go full out sports betting and all that other stuff, now you're really, really, really tinkering with Pete Rose and in the game and the integrity and all that other stuff. Plus, you know, at that point, Vegas didn't have any teams, and they were talking about that too. But they knew that they were going to go on both of those avenues. They just knew one was a little slipperier slope.
Let's bring it back to our listenership. All these changes. Sports betting is the root cause of all of it. If sports betting is not taking off like it is, AJ is still here. Fred is still here. None of these changes are, none of us is all getting thrown in a blender and we're coming out with something new. Now, is it time for something new? Yeah, maybe. We're changing everything up, just like, you know, change is inevitable. But.
Well, you're saying AJ's gone, it would still be here because that job wouldn't be
exactly
what it is.
It wouldn't
right,
be there.
Right. The opportunity to get that job.
Yeah. I mean, this is impacting everything, not just in the sports world, but everything in general. Like Colorado passed sports betting, but they only passed it, I think, in an online form. Because when I was there last fall, you could do it, but you had to do it through DraftKings or FanDuel or some type of app on your phone. They have the only casinos they have are up in the mountains, Indian casinos or Native American casinos or American Indian casinos, whatever the hell you want to call them.
Reservations or whatever, yep.
But, well, it's in an actual town. But at the same time, like they weren't putting in sports books when I started asking locals, and I started asking like people who worked in sports media around there. Like, yeah, no, it's just all digital. It all has to be on your phone, on an app where you can drop in your money, place a wager on the Bears or place a wager on the Avalanche and stuff like that. But every state is eventually going to do it. It's just some states are slower to the jump.
Well, because like even in Milwaukee, the land that's owned by American Indians, which is literally between County Stadium and the lakefront on the way to downtown in Milwaukee, is the Potawatomi tribes. And so they're able to have a casino right there in the middle of a metropolitan area in which gambling is not legal in the state.
Yeah, that's how different places they try to get around. Well, if it's on Indian land, then you can get it. And that's how Mohegan Sun eventually it was originally done. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, hell, you walk into Mohegan Sun and it's built like a teepee. So that was the original, how do we get around the rules for gambling? Oh, we'll make a deal with an Indian tribe. We'll put it on their land, and we'll give them some money. And so now, of course, we just have better ways of getting around laws, and now we have laws being repealed. So it gives you new stuff to do.
But it's coming. I mean, it's coming, and it's going to be legalized more and more. I'm shocked, by the way, that when Texas had the opportunity that – and Fred was explaining to me why he never thought it was going to pass. But I would think that because of stuff like this, because major league sports across the board – is going to get involved because they simply can't walk away from that money anymore.
Well, this is the thing, is that some of these states that have legalized sports betting, they're not legalizing all gambling. They're not legalizing casinos. They're not saying, hey, you know, Golden Nugget, come set up. Hey, Caesars, come set up a full-on resort.
Not blackjack and roulette and all those other things.
It's sports betting because they're looking at, hey, we've got pressure from all these major league teams. You know, MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL, are all these owners now are going, man, I can move my team real quick. If you legalize this, I can put a sports book in my stadium and I can make extra money. Because how long do you think until the Pelicans put in something in Smoothie King Arena?
Oh my God, that's wheelhouse.
Legalized
right?
Sports gambling starts September 1st in Louisiana.
Well, NHL, and think about this, Aaron, because this is the reason why other teams weren't allowed to even consider moving to Las Vegas. Because they even had rules set up within the league in terms of the NBA that said, like when the Maloofs owned the Palms Casino, the Palms, the one, they were not allowed to have anything to do with the Sacramento Kings in their sports book. The one team that could not be bet on, could not be a part of it, had to be removed from it. So it was always like on the defensive to keep gambling out until you got the Golden Knights. Now you think the NHL isn't going to be going, by the way, you see what's going on here? Pretty easy for us to do. We're right in the same city. We need to be getting on that too.
Hey, look, the NFL was against it forever, and now, hey, let's put a team in Vegas. Yeah, no
right.
big deal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Every league was totally staunchly against it and had already an answer lined up and defense mechanisms as to how they would handle anybody thinking about it or talking about it. And now everybody's going, it's only a matter of time before it's going to be legal all over the place.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is that it's just like criminalization of marijuana, stuff like that. You can look at it as going, no, you shouldn't do that. And then let other people make the money, or you can just go, you know what, do whatever you want. I'm just going to put taxes on it. Okay, then you're going to get your cut out of it. Just do it and get it over with and make sure you get yours on the back end.
And from a league perspective, and you were talking about it with the Field of Dreams uniforms with Nike on it, but there's also a reason why the NBA was also forward-thinking before the other leagues when they said, forget the national jersey sponsor, because they can still have their swoosh wherever they want it. But another way that the NBA said, we're still going to have competitive salaries, and we're still going to allow the owners to be competitive by having enough money to pay the bills by, again, being the first league to say you can put sponsors on the practice jerseys and the game jerseys, not to muck up the entire look of the uniform, but because there's millions of dollars in that patch. That means a whole lot at the end of the year when paying those salaries.
There is so much money. I mean, New Jersey had released what their sports wagering intake was. And I think within 8 months of doing sports wagering, they were taking in more money than Vegas. That's insane. How is that even possible? But everybody from New York just goes over the bridge into Jersey, and now I can go log into my DraftKings, and bam, I can bet everything. September 1st, you said it's legal in Louisiana. How many people are just driving across the border, opening up their DraftKings, banging in all their bets, and all right, you know what, I'm here, I'll go hang out in Lake Charles for the weekend, and then I'll turn around and go home after I get all my bets in.
It's not even that difficult. There's these things called VPNs, virtual private networks, where you can send your current home IP address through somewhere in Louisiana, New Jersey, Las Vegas, Toronto, wherever, so that these websites will work. There's ways, people will always find, human nature is finding a way around. If you want to do something and somebody tells you you can't, you are going to find a way around it. Why did you sneak out of your house when you were 15 years old? Why did you pop out the window and jump out and go hang out with your friends? Because your parents told you, hey, you got to go to bed at 11. Well, all your other friends decided they were going to go out and they were going to go down by the river and drink. Cool. I'm going to sneak out the window. I'm going to go do it too.
It is almost
every
like that.
Every human in the world.
You're right.
You tell somebody you can't do something, they are going to do it.
You can't do this. Oh, really?
Watch.
We all take that attitude. Oh, really?
And that's the thing, is that you've got to get, people need to understand this from every aspect.
Did you have doggy dormers in your house as a kid?
Have
doggy
what?
Dormers?
Doggy Dormers.
What are Doggy
Dormers? All right, so Doggy Dormers is on the second floor, instead of having the whole house built out, like one side of the roof would have like a slant on it, and the window would be what we call the Doggy Dormer. So there'd be a piece where the roof was a little higher and built around a window, and it looked like a doghouse, like coming
right out of the roof. I've seen them. I never knew that was called
so,
that.
So, you know, the Doggy Dormers. When I was a kid, when I was in high school, my bedroom, I had a Doggy Dormer. And because of the way our house was built, it was also the fire window, so the whole window could pop out. That was how I used to get out of the house. I'd pop out the window, come out, and I'd land on the front, the lower roof, the first floor roof, and then you could go from there, jump onto the tree in the front yard, and it was only, you know, what, 8 feet down. So it was easy to climb back up the tree and then get back onto the roof and go in the door. And that's how I used to sneak in and out all the time.
You were a spry little headbanger when you were little, weren't you?
I was a slight.
I mean, I grew up on the not lower half, but the less than or just below average of middle class. So, no, I grew up in a one-story house. It was
me too.
Just open your window,
lived in
push
a
out the screen.
That my grandma owned. She was upstairs. I was in the first floor. But the sun porch was connected to my room. Bonus.
That doesn't suck.
No. Okay, so before we go to the break with the final hour of the program, I want to tell you about Chris Smith and his place, Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Look, there's times it's so hard to find good, authentic Italian food. And when you do, a lot of times it's really high priced. It's not really family friendly. And you'd rather stay at home and try and do it yourself. Well, now you don't have to. Frankie's Italian Kitchen, if you're in the West Katy, Fulshear, Richmond area, it is the spot. And it's got all the dishes, all the Italian feel to it. It's inexpensive. It's affordable food for the family. It's a family atmosphere when you're in the dining room. But the main thing is it's all made from scratch. Chris is not only the owner, he makes the food. I've tried just about everything on the menu, from the lasagna to their wings, which are absolutely top-notch. Their pizza, they used to be known for their pizzas and their pizza oven, but then they wanted to make sure that everybody knew that there was so much more. They took pizza out of the name because they had plenty of business from the pizza. They wanted you to come in for the other things like beef stroganoff and all of those made from scratch, perfectly filling meals that when you leave, you're absolutely glad you came there and you know you're coming back because you were full, you were happy, and you didn't have to pay too much money. You got to check them out. It's absolutely all the fresh ingredients, Italian sausage from College Station, Wisconsin cheese, fresh produce, and it's all under one roof. Check them out today. Go to Frankie'sItalianKitchenTX.com. You're going to find out they're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, 11 to 9, Sundays, noon to 8. You can dine in, take out. They also do catering. But I'm telling you, once you've been once, you're going to go back again because it's made from scratch, it's fresh, it's delicious, and it's perfect for your family. Check them out today. It's Frankie'sItalianKitchenTX.com.
Deep in the jungle,
when it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
So we were talking about all this because someone was saying when I said that the Maloofs, when the NBA... when they bought the Sacramento Kings and they knew that they owned the Palms Hotel in Vegas, they had to do some things. Tillman's just had to do some things too. Aaron and I were talking about it, Pat, as well during the break, that the news just came out that Tillman had to sell what the sports book was. Is it the sports book part of his hotels?
Yeah, I think now it has to be run. It had to be bought out by DraftKings or something like that.
Yeah, so that he didn't have a connection because of all of the spots, so that they, because it's going to be a league-wide thing, and there's all this money coming in, but you can't have that inside tie-in like he had, so they had to change that.
He had to sell the Golden Nugget Online Gaming Company to DraftKings because it couldn't be associated with him being the owner of the Rockets.
Yeah, so... it's coming, folks, and it's going to keep on being a big deal because that is the kind of money that they have to get so that they can stay competitive with salaries and keep taking care of everybody, especially as they're getting revenues back coming out of the pandemic with getting butts back in the seats and all of that. So I want to throw that out at you. Not very good today if you were hoping for the A's to take one in the shorts. It's two touchdowns and a field goal now, Pat?
It is. They're in the bottom of the ninth with two outs, and Oakland is up 17-0. This is like, you know, the Texans are going to play the Jags. It'll be 17-0.
That's disappointing, especially coming off. At least the Red Sox did us a favor last night and won very, very big numbers against the Tampa Bay Rays. This one not going in the Astros' favor
The A's are going to stay. Your non-Milwaukee Brewers are up 9-1 in the fifth over the Cubbies.
Quietly, they got quite a pitching staff.
They got three really good pitchers. Because
if you missed it last night, did you see that little show last night?
New record, most consecutive punch-outs.
10 straight strikeouts last night by Corbin Burns?
Yeah.
Corbin Burns, 10 pitch. Straight strikeouts against the Cubs for the Brewers. They got Woodruff. They got Burns. They got some pitchers on that squad.
I think it's fair to say that when you talk about like underrated managers and whatnot, Craig Counsell might be the most underrated manager in baseball. He has gone to the playoffs with some pitching staffs that were embarrassing, and they had to have, you know, you've got opener for every game. Nobody goes more than two or three innings. Now you've got three legit starters and, you know, some legit badasses in the bullpen. They can pitch much better than
everything
they've been able to pitch for a while.
Everything you said was accurate, except for the Craig Counsell part.
You don't think he's any good?
I didn't say that.
I think he's very underrated as a manager.
I'm just going to let you know, my arch rival in high school.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He played for Whitefish Bay, and I played for Shorewood, and they didn't like each other too much. And Craig was the second baseman. And Craig's dad was the vice president of tickets for the Brewers. And Craig was about 4 foot nothing, but he had the blue batting gloves from the Brewers and the blue spikes and all the freshest gear. And then he got a scholarship to Notre Dame and didn't even make all conference. And it just went from there. And now he's the manager. The hometown kid does well. All right, I'll leave it there.
My Metsies are up 2-0 on the Nats in the fifth, and they've already won the first game today. So could be a good day for the Metropolitans.
Metropolitans have found their way right out of first place in that division.
They were down to third the other day.
I saw that.
Yeah, now they're currently a half a game out. Chance to get a win here and be even, although, you know, the other teams in the division will play later.
I did want to ask you guys this. Simply because of the fact that it's pertinent. We've seen in the Rockets play again tonight against the Raptors. I think it's the 7 o'clock game in Vegas as we get another chance to see the young diaper dandies, including Jalen Green. Jalen Green has wore four his whole life. Jalen Green is not getting to wear four with the Rockets, if you've noticed. He's wearing zero. Do you know why?
I think I do.
Because that guy that was so good at following the rules in the bubble.
Got himself kicked out
and cost his team in that series against the Lakers. Not saying they were going to win it, but he was playing awfully well for them.
And then played like trash last year.
Daniel House ain't giving up four for nobody. Could this not be the final straw of moving Daniel House?
Honestly, I don't know how the hell he was on the team last year.
Thank you. He should not be there anymore anyway.
He should have been moved after that debacle in the bubble. There is zero reason for them, especially considering how poorly he played last year. Yeah, I'd move
his ass. That's one thing Russ and James agreed on. After the bubble fiasco, Harden and Westbrook both wanted him gone. They were pissed. And so I thought at that point, that was enough. But no, they kept him around, and then they started playing him again. And then when Harden wasn't going to be there and Russ wasn't going to be there, all things are forgotten. No, there's still guys on the team that remember.
You don't need to keep him as a cheap guy anymore because you can have four rookies who are going to play. So, hasta la vista. He should be out of here.
And you got a guy that, again, we talked about this and we look at the Rodgers situation in Green Bay, look at the Deshaun situation, look at how we said it's a new day dawning in sports where you've got to communicate with your best players. And if you keep them happy and you do that, chances are going to stick around. If you don't, they're going to skip town the first chance they get. You want to keep a guy like Jalen Green happy. Don't piss him off because one of your malcontents of the bubble that still thinks he's way better than he is ain't giving up four.
And I don't know if that's like a big deal to Jalen Green. I don't think that's something that's such a big deal that he's going to be really ticked off about it. And usually when you have a really high draft pick comes in and you're a nondescript veteran, you might give the number up. Maybe you'll, you know, say, hey,
sell
look, give me like $50,000 for the number and we're good. Or, you know, buy me this, buy me that, buy me a car, and we're good.
Brady got it from Godwin. I think Godwin was a receiver wearing 12 and Brady worked out some deal with Godwin, but it sometimes you have to pay for it.
Yeah, buy me a car. Yeah. Give me here's you know, $25,000, whatever, you a little something like that. That's kind of a tradition in sports. But Daniel House, who doesn't even belong on the team to begin with,
correct,
for his antics, yeah, I mean, this is, it's not the reason to trade him. It's just like, here's another example of him just being a dumbass and not being able to read the room and buy.
I mean, if you're Green, do you make him look like the biggest D-bag by going on him at Instagram and going, hey, man, I will give $100,000 of my first check to your favorite charity if you let me swap numbers with you? Because that's what a lot of these players have made enough money. Like, you know, when somebody gives it up for a new quarterback coming in and stuff like that, it's usually a guy who's been there long enough and goes, yeah, man, whatever. But and they'll make them do like, hey, I'll donate to your foundation or your camp or whatever like that. Or, hey, I'll make an appearance at your kids' camp every year for the next few years.
Right.
Like, if I'm Jalen Green, yeah, I'm literally going, hey, man, $100,000, your favorite charity. I don't care what it is.
Because here's the other thing, Aaron, when you're thinking about it, at the end of the day, he's going, I'm going to be here a lot longer than you.
Exactly.
So at some point, I'm getting it if I want it anyway. Right now, I'm just not going to be the D-bag that pushes the issue. But you're right.
He doesn't want to have to buy all the... Well, I don't know if the NBA does that, but no. The NFL, they got to buy all the jerseys.
I don't think the NBA does it like the NFL does. So, all right, we've got one segment to go in the program. We'll wrap it up next. Keep it right where you got it. It's Press Box ESPN.
I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'll go with you.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
I'm the king of rock. There is none higher. Fire MCs to call me sire. To rule my kingdom, you must choose fire. I won't stop rocking till I retire.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Final segment of the program. It is Aaron, Pat, and Joel taking you all the way up until 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Had a good time today talking sports and other things, and I think it's always appropriate that we can talk other things and have some fun with that, too. And I think that regardless of what you guys are throwing out there, we'll still find a way to do that, too. At least we will on the programs that we're associated with. At least I hope so. I want to ask your guys' opinion on this because this is crazy. We were talking about this the other day with the NIL and with guys that play multiple sports in college, and we mentioned a few of the names, Chris Winkie and a couple other guys, and obviously the most notorious of all of them, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, played one sport, then switched to the other, or tried to play both. But now in a very, very interesting story, did you see who's going back to college to play college golf at North Carolina A&T?
Is he going to wear a shirt?
Is he going to know the score?
Does it matter?
J.R. Smith was a two-time NBA champion.
Yeah, once in Cleveland.
Once.
And then
With the Lakers. In the bubble.
So he's won two titles.
So evidently, when you were talking about your old friends at the NCAA, Pat, there is no rule that a professional athlete in one sport can't eventually go back to college and play collegiately as an amateur in another sport. J.R. Smith has enrolled at North Carolina A&T University, and he intends to join the historically black university men's golf team if he gets cleared by the NCAA, and it looks like he will.
It is great for North Carolina A&T, which is an HBCU, to get the attention, hopefully use this as a way to generate more interest in the university, get some more money coming through. This is another one of those examples to me, though, of how the NCAA is just completely ridiculous and has no purpose anymore. You can be a professional athlete and then go back and compete against amateurs as long as it's a different sport. And you mentioned, you know, Chris Winkie, you know, played baseball for, what, 6 years before he went back to college, and then he wins the Heisman Trophy. Yep. J.R. Smith's a professional athlete who's had has all the money in the world that he can use to, you know, make himself a top
he's
golfer.
Made.
He's got a he's like a 5 handicap. And
he's
obviously
playing with
he's
a 5.
Playing more, he's probably going to get a little better going against young college kids. I don't quite see a level playing field in that. But
so per NCAA rules, an individual shall not be eligible for intercollegiate athletics in a sport if the individual ever competed on a professional team in that sport. But the laws do not ban a former pro athlete from competing in a different sport. Multiple collegiate athletes have played professional sports before returning to school to compete in Division I athletics. We mentioned when Aaron was doing the show the other day, Russell Wilson and Danny Ainge, both were getting paid to be minor league baseball players while they were still playing amateur athletics on the college level. In fact, it was such an issue at NC State for Russell Wilson, it's the reason he transferred out and ended up at Wisconsin, because the football coach didn't like it and wanted him to quit, and he wouldn't do it. Danny Ainge was playing basketball for BYU while he was getting paid by the Blue Jays.
Yeah, those are guys who played minor league ball. J.R. Smith wasn't playing minor league ball. He was playing in the NBA, making tons of money. I feel like, you know, making minor league salaries, making millions and millions and millions is not quite equitable. Like I said, though, it's one of those things where this is, if he's allowed to play, and it looks like he's going to be allowed to play, this is a big deal for an HBCU, and these
now, does
are
he
universities.
Make the squad because of his ability? He said he's a 5 handicap. A lot of those kids are scratch.
He's definitely making the squad.
Well, because Richard Watkins is the head golf coach, and he said it would be a very big deal to have him on the golf team at A&T. He said it's not very often that somebody in his position really has an opportunity to have a thought, a dream, and an idea, and to be able to go ahead and move in that direction. He's a former professional athlete, but it's a unique set of circumstances. He never went to college, never matriculated. The clock never started for him. There's a technicality he's going
to
play.
Yeah, he went straight out of high school to the NBA back when you could do that. And I would think, now look, most HBCUs are not awash in money. And their training facilities could probably use some upgrade. I would not be surprised if J.R. Smith suddenly donate some money, they get a big upgrade. Now we have the J.R. Smith golf building at North Carolina.
I want to say Chris
A&T.
Paul, because Chris Paul is very motivated to support historically black colleges and universities. I want to say that Chris Paul, because he's a big golfer too, has already donated money, and so has Augusta National.
Yeah, but it wasn't at Wake. It was at an HBCU.
No, that's what
there.
I'm saying. I think it was one of the North Carolina schools because he grew up. He went to Wake, but he grew up in North Carolina. And I want to see it might even have been A&T. But so there are some. There's a movement going to get more funding for some of these programs you're talking about.
I think it's a big deal for the universities. These are schools that need money and need this support. So. From that aspect of it, I'm not going to say no, he shouldn't be allowed to play. I don't know that it necessarily is a totally even playing field. But I think it'll be good for college golf.
Can you imagine,
though? And I think
it'll
be good for that school.
You got J.R. Smith and a college kid, and they're coming down the stretch, and it's a match that means winning the Invitational or whatever. And they each got one putt left to make a putt. Not saying he was the most pressure-packed guy in the world, but since he's played on the biggest stage possible in a different sport with all the pressure in the world, maybe he didn't know the score. But
J.R. Smith, hey, 50 grand if you hit that, just put a little pressure on him.
Yeah, no cash on the line, but if you make this 10-footer and you got the college kid who's never been there and done that on that level going, yeesh. He could be the college version in terms of just, not golf ability, people. But the college version of Tiger Woods intimidation. Yeah, you've been in a couple of big tournaments. I've been in the finals.
Dude, there'll be a few lines thrown out there to raise the stakes, so to speak.
It shall be fun to see how that develops. Always fun to have you guys along. Tomorrow, we're going to be in the East End celebrating Fred Fowler on his last broadcast here on a regular basis, at least, with Gal Media. East End Backyard is where we're going to be.
East End Backyard.
Starting at 1 o'clock all the way through. You will be back as well, Pat, as we will get one more day of fun here on the press box. So we hopefully, if you guys are in the area in the East End and Edo, join us. If not, keep listening. We appreciate you guys always interacting and being a part of the program. For Aaron and Pat, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.